Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello and welcome back to the show. Hey Dad, how you doing?
Hello, Tater, doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've had a little under the weather these past couple days. A little cold. Not COVID. Tested twice. It's not the COVID. It's something else. But
just a doing all right. Good old fashioned cold, huh?
Yeah, just that classic.
Classic, huh?
So I've been having a lot of penicillins minus the alcohol. It's just a little less. It's just lemon, honey, and ginger. I add a little hot sauce to it too and shake it up at work. So I have a little something to sip on. Kind of keeps the sinuses clear.
Well, that's good. Always good to keep the sinuses clear. I'm sorry you've been feeling bad. I'm glad to get you back up and around. We had to delay recording this a couple of days just because you were so croupy and lost your voice altogether.
Yeah. We were originally supposed to record. It was an off day, thankfully, so I didn't have to go into work. I don't go to work sick. I've been trying to. My off days have kind of hit on my worst days with this cold, but now I'm in recovery. But yeah, I just woke up. I was like, well, I can't do the podcast tonight because I cannot pronounce sounds.
It's hard to do a podcast when you can't speak, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like even when you can get words out, when it's so painful to listen to you talk, that's the whole like. Like, you all are probably picking up that I'm a little froggy today, but, like, it's painful to listen to somebody whose voice just sounds like they are in pain speaking, so I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, when they're talking and you hear them like that, oh my gosh.
Stop. That's the opposite of ASMR. Yeah, but we're back. Dad, did you have anything good to drink this week?
Well, we just went crazy with the paper planes on this past weekend. We went through
a whole fleet.
I know we went through one whole bottle of Nonino, and luckily the other one arrived. So, I mean, we absolutely in a weekend went through a bottle of Nonino, the whole thing, making paper planes. Once I started them, everybody kept asking for them, so I just had to keep making them. But the thing was, I trained two other people in making them, and they were making them just as good as I was by the end of the weekend. So I'm spreading the knowledge on.
Have you all? I don't. Maybe we have. Did you ever try the Naked and Famous, the paper plane? Like
no, I remember us talking about that on that episode. But no, I remember us talking about it, but I don't remember what's different in that.
Might help preserve your Nonino a little bit more if you get a few similar drinks. Mm-hmm. I think you'll still prefer the paper plane, but I feel like Mom might like a Naked and Famous. That's yellow chartreuse, Aperol, mezcal, and lime.
Yeah, she might like that, but everybody
a little drier, but it's still nice and fruity.
Everybody in real life and on the Facebook page that has found Nonino and tried a paper plane, they keep writing in how much they like it and that it's a new. That's their new favorite drink. So,
I sure get a lot ordered for me at the bar. So again, it might not be everybody's drink of the summer, but I think it's a lot of people's drink of the summer.
And we did do a direct taste test between regular Amaro and Nonino, and it's still a good drink, even with just a regular Amaro. But it's a prettier drink with the Nonino.
Yeah, I love it with the Nonino. Good. I'm glad that drink is getting some mileage for you.
Oh, it sure is.
Well, so for this week for the show, as we mentioned last week, we started last week talking about Vinho Verde, which of course made in Portugal. And as we kind of went to do a little rundown as an accompaniment to the Vinho Verde episode of other things you can try in Portugal, there's just so much. So we decided let's make a whole other episode about other things you can drink in Portugal. And even within this, I'm going to say a lot of these topics, we'll probably come back to it at some point and tack on the history of what, because there's just so much cool, cool drinking culture, cool spirits, wine culture, so much from Portugal to discuss. So we're just going to give you sort of an overview of some of the not-to-miss things that you might encounter if you're so lucky as to go drinking in Portugal.
Yeah, there's so many things that I had no idea that were embedded in the Portugal drinking culture. And, you know, I mean, port wine never occurred to me that port wine had anything to do with Portugal.
Yeah, which I feel kind of dumb because it's port. It's from Portugal, but it's not called port because it's from Portugal. Although that would be convenient. It is port wine. If you're not familiar with it, it is a fortified wine. It doesn't have to be made in Portugal, although there is like a decree by the European Union, like a declaration that real port, to be labeled as port, it has to be made in Portugal. You can still make port in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, sorry. So you can, I got some port from upstate New York not too long ago. It says port wine on the label, but it's not exactly legal to do that, I guess, in some countries.
And Portugal might come after you, huh?
I don't think they're going to come up to like the Finger Lakes, the little farm that's making some port. But most of like the recognized port in the world comes from like a demarcated area, which specifically the Douro region of Portugal. It's also where you go to just for in general like excellent red wines. But that is where the quality port is produced, and the name comes from the seaport city in that region called Porto. So, you know, when it was first being exported in like the 17th century to the rest of Europe, it was called like Vino de Porto, wine from Porto, which eventually just got shortened to port.
Well, that's a pretty convenient name for a place where boats go, port.
Maybe it's Porto.
Yeah.
The Porto port.
Where do we park this boat? At the Porto.
The Porto port. Port city called Porto. I don't know. Maybe that was the very first port. All the rest were called after. I don't think that's true. I don't know that. That is not a fact. That is an uninformed statement.
But because port wine is a big seller there and produced there and everything else, they also have a whole port wine cocktail culture where the cocktails made that include port wine as an ingredient. So I guess because there's so much of it around there, that's just a natural fit.
And just like if you're confused, because in the past we've talked about sherry, of course, and I think like what is the difference between port and sherry is a common question because they are both fortified wines. I remember first learning that kind of the redux was port is red and sherry is white. That's not really accurate. Sherry is made just from three grapes, all of which are white, so sherry is generally made from white wine. But port, while it's mainly made from red grapes, there are like 100 grapes that you can make port from. And some of those are white grapes, so you can have white port. And that white port is the one you more commonly see in cocktails because it's a little bit more mixable. It's a little less assertive, specifically like the Porto Tonico. This is white port and tonic is very popular, very bright, summery drink. If you're looking for something different and cultural to drink this summer, if you can get your hands on some white port, try that out. It sounds delicious. And one thing that comes up, which we'll talk about a lot as we go through these spirits, is aguardiente, or fire water, which is just like kind of a catch-all term for distilled spirits in Portugal. Mm-hmm. So when you make port wine, you're fermenting wine and you're halting the fermentation process before all the sugar has been eaten up by the yeast, so it has some residual sugar, and you're doing that with the addition of aguardiente, in this form, distilled grape spirit. So you're adding booze to the wine while it's fermenting to cause all that yeast to die off. So you get the sugar, you get the higher alcohol content, then it'll be aged either in glass bottles, it's reductive aging, which produces a smoother wine, or in wooden barrels, which allows that oxidation, something we associate a lot with sherry, that adds those sort of nutty, earthy, funky notes. And there's a lot of like smaller labels with import, but like the big general idea is that smoother port is usually what we think of as ruby port, and that nuttier port is usually what we think of as tawny port. And then like beyond that, there are like some that have mixed aging styles. Again, there's a white port, but there's a whole lot in port. If you're a fan of sherry, you should absolutely check out port. If you're a fan of just fortified wines in general, but we'll have to come back to more about port at some point, just for my own personal interest, because you know how much I love sherry.
And the place where you fly is the airport.
Yes, that is true too.
And you park your car at the carport.
There's no port at the airport generally. I wish there was. I would fly more. Even on the there's so much history to port. We could come back to some point, but even without moving out of the category of fortified wine, but still in Portugal, there's Madeira, which I knew was a fortified wine. I didn't really know its whole story. It's named for where it comes from, which is the Atlantic islands of Madeira, and it's another fortified wine. This one is made from white grapes. Generally has a much more oxidative character, but if you've ever heard of like rainwater Madeira or just Madeira in general, that's its name for the place where it comes from, which is it's all settled by descendants of Portuguese settlers, so still sort of Portuguese in origin.
I have never heard of Madeira.
Yeah,
that's a new one to me.
I feel like you were in a play where you talked about Madeira. Is that not?
Well, I could have talked about it, but not known what I was saying. It was just one of the words, one of the lines in there, so it's possible. But I don't remember.
Was that guy that was mean to the flower lady? What was that?
Oh, My Fair Lady. Henry Higgins.
Did he talk about Madeira? That sounds like something that Henry Higgins.
Well, he might have. I don't know. I had 250 lines in that show, so I can't remember all of them. And some of them were entire pages of dialogue.
Well, at least you remember the man that was mean to the flower lady. You knew what that meant.
Yeah, Eliza Doolittle.
Yes. But also made in Madeira, in the as far as cocktails go, is something called Poncha, which is a cocktail of aguardiente, but this time it's a distilled from sugarcane, similar to rum, and it's mixed with lemon or orange juice, honey, a little sugar. It's all muddled together. It's sort of a precursor to the Brazilian caipirinha, that muddling the rinds into the drink. Mm-hmm. And it's also probably historically a derivative of that Indian punch, which we've talked about as like the word that kind of inspired where we get punch, which is there are many words that have been offered up as possible origins for the word punch. But this one, it's an Indian word for five, and it refers to the five ingredients used in the recipe for this drink. So it comes to us from India, but made its way to Madeira, and they made their own poncha, which you can still get, very popular drink today.
And that's a kind of liqueur?
No, it's like a cocktail. Oh. So you're taking that, like, it's aguardiente distilled from sugarcane. Again, like, aguardiente is just this catch-all term. It's like for distilled anything. It could be distilled fruit, grapes, in this case, sugarcane. Just something that's basically a distilled to a neutral spirit, distilled to a high octane, usually clear spirit that you're using as a base for something.
Oh, I see.
So in this case, you're just using it as your cocktail base. You're adding a little bit of that, a little bit of juice, a little bit of honey, a little bit of citrus, and that's your poncha.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing that involves a different form of aguardiente is Madrono. I think we talked a little bit about this last week. The sour cherry bevy. Oh, no, not sour cherry. This is the strawberry tree bevy.
Yeah, I would say I don't know about this one. I know about the ginger.
Yeah, that's the sour cherry. No, Madrono is sort of a fruit brandy, sometimes called aguardiente de Madronos, which, again, it might be a little confusing because we've got this aguardiente. What does that mean? Just, it could be anything. Burning water, fire water, distilled somehow, high octane. So, in the case of this, it's distilled from the arbutus tree, which is sometimes commonly called the cane apple tree or the strawberry tree. It's not really related to apples or strawberries. It's just that the fruit kind of looks like that. It's these little red orbs. They're sort of prickly looking. And flavor-wise, they're a little bit closer, like a kiwi, honestly. Mm. So they take this fruit when it's ripe, they ferment it, and then they distill it into a 40 to 50% alcohol by volume drink. So it's a little musky, it's a little fruity, probably similar like a schnapps as we think of it.
Yeah.
And it's consumed as like a celebratory shot or with a cup of coffee. Although it also can then, you take that base and make it into a liqueur. And this sounds delicious. It's something called melosa. So you would add local honey, maybe some spices, And you can find like lots of commercial brands of Melosa on the market, but this is also something that like a lot of families will have their own recipe for it. It's thought to like be good for illness. I don't know if we have any Portuguese listeners out there that want to hook me up some homemade Melosa. I think I could use some right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it might straighten you out.
And that sounds delicious, though. I would love to try that.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like they pretty much anything that grows there, they find some way to turn it into a delicious alcohol of some type, huh?
Well, you mentioned the ginger. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, the ginger is made, it's kind of a sour cherry type thing made from ginger berries and Morello cherry. And it's got the alcohol mixed into the, how do you say that? Aguardiente? Aguardiente?
Aguardiente.
Aguardiente. I'm not very good at pronouncing things.
But I'm also not great. I listened to it said several times on like a YouTube, and then I went, yes, I've got it. And then I go, sorry to all of Portugal. I am sorry.
But they reduce that down to basically a cherry liqueur, and you drink it like a shot, but you don't shoot it. You sip on it. And it's a lot of times, traditionally, it's served in like a little chocolate cup that's kind of like if you took like the outside, if you took a Reese cup hollowed out, so it was just the pie crust of a Reese cup or whatever, you know. If you took one of those about the size of a regular Reese cup and filled it up with this cherry liqueur, that's the way they serve it. And you sit there and you sip the cherry liqueur out, then eat the cup. So I thought that was pretty cool. It looked really good anyway. They had white chocolate and that red cherry liqueur in there. Man, those really look good.
I would like to get my hands on some of this too, or at least try to figure out how you make it. Because I guess, again, you're starting with an aguardiente. You're infusing the cherries into it. You're sweetening it with sugar. Maybe some spices. I think cloves and cinnamon are common.
Uh-huh.
But this is another thing. This is very associated with like drinking in Lisbon. And there are all these very tiny little just hole-in-the-wall bars where this is all they have. They just have the ginger. And you go in and this is what you stand and drink there. And each different little bar will have its own specific recipe for it. That is like a, you know, protected recipe.
Yeah, and you don't serve it on ice, and you don't really have to refrigerate it. It's supposed to just be, you know, served like room temperature and drink them that way. But it's spelled funny. If you were looking for it, it's G-I-N-J-I-N-H-A is the way that's spelled in there. So
ginger or ginger.
Yeah, short. Either way, yeah. But I just, sometimes when you're looking for those things, you know, like I want to look that up
like
and see more about it.
Accent or something.
Yeah.
Ginger.
It's ginger. Just like Prince Harry.
That sounds delicious. There's so much, especially in the wine category. There's so much there. But, I mean, we mentioned several times that aguardiente, and you could also just drink that. Like, you can just add, there are different kinds of aguardientes, be they fruit-based, you know, cane-based, grape-based. You can drink them straight. They're usually as a celebratory shot, as we've talked about a lot. Like, you know, drinking just booze is in Portugal is one of those things that it's more common to drink with food. So you're probably drinking with food. And if you're drinking shots, you're probably drinking shots with people in celebration of something, not just sitting by yourself and drinking shots alone for nothing. Every time we encounter that, which is a very common thing you encounter in a lot of cultures, it's such a stark contrast to in America, where there's so much, I think, like shame around drinking that leads us to do it in like the saddest way possible, like alone.
It is.
At a bar.
It is.
By yourself.
It is.
No
completely
food.
Different. Yeah, it's completely
it's
different.
So
it's
much
like
better.
You know that. I mean, you have families that probably just sit around and they have some of these, like the cherry liqueur, and that's just what they do in the evening when you're getting ready for dinner or whatever, or even after dinner. You pour these shots, and that's what you do. And it's not like, hey, we're going to tie one on now. It's like, this is just your family tradition, and you share in this drink together, you know? And it's completely different than here. Here, it's like, all right, well, we got to go pregame, and then we're going to go slam however many drinks we can, you know? It's like drinking is a completely separate occasion. It's not part of your culture, part of your life. It's something you do for entertainment.
Well, I was. It's funny. I was talking. One of my coworkers at my job is from Colombia, and she was talking about how they drink a lot of aguardiente, and that it's like mm-hmm. they'll go out at night and you'll just buy a whole bottle, which is funny. Like, we don't go to a bar and buy a whole bottle of like vodka. Mm-mm. There are bars where you can get bottle service, and then you're kind of sitting down, you're having your drink served to you. But like, no. You'll just go and you'll buy a bottle and go dancing, and someone will be holding the bottle. But you wait, and then everybody takes a shot together, and then, you know, like maybe you switch off who holds the bottle for a while you're dancing.
Are you the designated bottle guard?
Yeah, like you hold the bottle for the group, and this is the group's bottle, and you're sharing it all night. You know, if you run out of the bottle, somebody else buys the next bottle maybe, or, you know, different people go in on the next bottle. But again, it's a more communal thing. It's like, we're all going out, we're all going to drink from the same bottle all night. We're all going to drink at the same time. That's a really beautiful tradition, and I don't really think we have that so much. I think we could use for more of that.
Yeah, I think that is pretty. That's what I say. It's more of a tradition. It's more part of the culture. It's more of a sharing type thing, and it's not thought of as let's go out and get slammed. So
yeah,
you know, I think that's a lot nicer when it's like that. You know, that's. Wow. Totally different from what you see here.
I agree. If you are drinking aguardiente, you know, again, you should do it celebratory as shots with your friends. But one of the ways I came across, which I think is very whimsical and cute, is you can add just a little to your coffee. And when you order it, the translation for how you order it is like you ask for a little scent or a little music in your coffee.
A little music, huh?
Can I have a little music? And by that you mean I would like some high octane booze in my espresso. Just a little music, please. That's how I feel around 5 o'clock most days. I don't want to get drunk. I just need a little music.
Play it again, Sam.
But you know, I think just from this, and I mean, there's are other spirits that like. I started to sort of give a rundown, and I'm like, this is just a huge category of information. So there is a really – what I'm learning from this episode is two things. One, I think I need to visit Portugal and drink at some point in my life. I hope I get that opportunity. And two, many of these topics, once we get into the history, all warrant just so much more of an expansive discussion at some point in the future. So really just a bevy of information and culture coming from Portugal.
Yeah, that's a lot of different stuff going on that I had no idea that they had everything like that going on. Like I say, the only thing I came across was that ginger, that Prince Harry drink. That was the only thing that I came across. And then you suggested that we look at it more deeply, and man, it was like stuff everywhere. Lots of different things, yeah. Tradition.
Yeah, and with a lot of these places that have so many, like, just a very different drinking culture than we have, obviously, a lot of what we've talked about, my first thought is, like, I want to put that in a cocktail. Like, yeah. And there are cocktails. We talked about a few. But cocktail culture is less of a thing as it is more of, like, you know, like, a lot of these are sipping spirits. A lot of these are very simply mixed. And that's also just to the culture as well.
Well, it also
that doesn't mean that won't stop me from putting them in cocktails.
Well, it also said that the cocktail revolution, like, was slow to come there, that it really didn't hit there until around 2015. Because that's not the way their culture was built. And it really, the only reason it came about was because of tourism. And they started, like, speakeasies and some things like that with a cocktail culture, because tourists were kind of demanding it. And they said that they were often told that they got the best value for their drinks there in Portugal. But at the same time, that, you know, that was kind of an indication of their economic situation, because they had to sell them for the lower prices, the drinks for the lower prices. So it made it harder for the bars to get by on that kind of thing.
Right, which is what we talked about too with Vino Verde, that it's cheap, but it's cheap partially due to economic reasons.
Yeah, yeah, But they said that they do have, in a lot of the bigger cities in Portugal, like Lisbon, a thriving cocktail culture now.
It is interesting, because we were talking about the communal of like sharing a bottle versus the sort of extreme take on individuality that is like a bespoke cocktail, which is very much like an American invention. Like, let me make you one special glass for you that I will just make one of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. There's probably a bigger like philosophical debate there that we don't have time for. But it is interesting how I don't know. It's a very different kind of drinking, you know?
Yeah.
Where it really is all about the drink. Like, the drink is, it's tailored to you, and it's for you, and it's a single glass.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many cultures very happily are like, no, we're all just sharing a bottle. I don't need to feel, it doesn't have to be just for me. It's part, the reason I'm here is because all these other people are here too.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is.
Gonna
it is.
Chew on that for a while.
But it is kind of neat though, you know, and I can understand that. You know, I've enjoyed ouzo when we've had that before, you know, or the arak, you know, those kind of things. And those sit around and drink like that. And there's been a few other liqueurs that we've picked up along the way from some of the things we've talked about. And those have been very enjoyable. I can understand why they'd sit around and sip on those.
Yeah. Well, there's just a, I feel like just a taste, just to wet your palate for the libations of Portugal. I know I'm intrigued. I imagine everybody out there should be. If you're not, Dad, are you? Are we going to go to Portugal?
Well, it's going to have to come after Ireland, whenever that is.
Oh, that's fair.
We'll that's my first trip. I got to go get a Guinness from Ireland first. All right. If I only got one place to go, that's where I'm going. I wouldn't mind Portugal being number two.
Right. Well, you could have a few, you know. You could have a few places.
All right. Well, I'll go to Australia after that.
All right. Well, thank you all. Do you have any final thoughts, Dad?
No. I do want to find, though, if we can find that ginger and see if that's somewhere around here that you could get it. But it's like a lot of those things. They make it mostly for there. They don't really do a lot of exporting of it. It's mostly consumed in their own country.
I looked into that. There are some brands that I think are exported to the U.S. So I looked at that. But then I also looked from there, like, well, I know I can get like the aguardiente. So I know I can get Morello cherries, which are what the sour cherry that's used.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just try to make my own? I don't know, but I agree. I would like to try it, and I would like to sub it into recipes that I use other cherry liqueurs in.
Yeah, that would be interesting to use, and also compare it to the cherry hearing and the Luxardo.
Yeah, I think you're intrigued by the chocolate shot glass.
Well, now that's pretty good. I'll have to eat the middle out of some Reese cups. So
that, and just serve it up that way with the bite mark out of the middle.
Yeah,
here you go, everybody.
Yeah. I'll use like a metal straw and suck all the middle out of it, and then have the cup there to put the cherry in.
You can buy shot glass molds. You can just I'll talk to Mom. You can temper chocolate and pour it into shot glass molds.
You don't have to repurpose Reese cups.
No, you don't gnaw at a Reese cup. The health department would have a problem with that if nothing else. I have a problem with that if nothing else. All right.
Well, as long as it's for my own personal consumption, it's okay.
Yeah, I guess if it's for you, that's fine. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dad, for being here. Thank you for this little mental trip to Portugal with me.
Well, thank you, Tay, for having me. I thought we might run into Jimmy Buffett while we were down there. He travels in those areas.
Yeah, well, maybe. Has he written a song about Portugal?
I'm sure he has.
Yeah. Thank you all for being here. If you want to find us on the internets, we are Neat Boozecast on Instagram. We are neatthebozecast@gmail.com. If you want to hit us up with questions, comments, we have a Patreon. If you want to find us over there to help support us, thank you to our patrons. You are the reason this gets made. And hey, if you want to talk about, if you've had drinks in Portugal, if you have a home Melosa recipe that you'd like to share with me so I can kick the rest of this bug, let us know over at
Beat the Boozecast group page on Facebook. We're there. Yeah.
Well, hey, I've been Taylor Smurl.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
And this has been...
Get all those different cherry drinks and mix those together and come up with a cherry bomb.
You know, when I turned 21, I went to a bar and I said, have them. And I very confidently asked the bartender for a cherry bomb. They said, I don't know what that is. And I said, I don't know either. I just assumed it was something.
Yeah. John Cougar sang about it, but I think it was a car.
Yeah, well, I mean, so did like the Runaways. I don't know if it's a set cocktail, but I just assumed it was. This bartender looked at me with such disgust, like that's not a thing. Well, now I understand that disgust. I've been on the other side of that. Although,
well, now you got to invent it.
Made something.
Yeah. There you go. That's your cocktail.
It's gonna have ginger in it.
All right.